Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Yeah, today we're celebrating the best of all things. Amen.
Amen.
Without Jesus' resurrection, where would we be? But the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. We can read that right there in 1 Corinthians 15. For I deliver to you as of first importance, says Paul, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised from the dead on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, and then to the 12. That is a fact, that Jesus Christ has died and risen again from the dead. And that is a historical fact, friends. That's the most marvelous news in all the world. Where is your Jesus right now? He's at the right hand of the throne of the Father in heaven, ruling all things on your behalf until he comes again to take you to be with him, to himself, and to give you the kingdom. And so we're celebrating the best of all things today, that the Lord is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. Today I'd like to talk about what does that his resurrection mean for us? What's it prove? What's it signify? What's it mean for us? And so we'll look at that. But first, let's just establish once again that what we're celebrating today is a historical fact, Jesus' resurrection. We need to do that for really, I think, at least two reasons off of my mind here. Is number one is because all our hope as Christians is founded upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ has not been raised, you're still in your sins, and your faith is futile, and our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. Everything is founded upon that historical event that in history, Jesus really did on the third day get up again after being dead. The other reason I believe we need to talk about and show that first off is because guess what? We're living in a world full of a lot of unbelievers and false prophets, false teachers, scoffers who don't believe as we believe. You know, I saw a survey this week on the internet. 7,441 pastors, Protestant pastors, several decades ago were interviewed or surveyed. And how many of them believed in the physical resurrection of Christ on the third day? That he bodily got up? You know what it was? Is of those who denied it, 51% of Methodist pastors, 35% Presbyterian, 30% Episcopalian, 33% American Baptists. What? What are they preaching on a day like this? The Easter Bunny? You know, should we all go get some eggs? Come on, man. That's the center of the Christian faith. What are you doing being a pastor if you don't believe in the heart of Christianity? Well, so we need to make sure that their unbelief doesn't affect us. Listen again to what Paul says. 1 Corinthians 15, I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, historical fact, that he was buried, historical fact, that he rose from the dead on the third day, a historical fact, and that he appeared to whom? To Peter, then to the 12, then to more than 500 brethren at one time, then to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as one untimely born, he appeared also to me, to Paul. How many witnesses we got then for Jesus' resurrection? 513 plus, I mean, plus a lot on top of that. How many witnesses in the Bible do you need to establish a fact? Two or three. That's a minimum, right? We look here in Deuteronomy 19. God says, a single witness shall not prevail against a man for any crime or for any wrong in connection with any offense that he's committed, only on the evidence of two witnesses or three witnesses shall a charge be sustained. How many we got here for Jesus? Two or three? 513 plus on top of that. Peter says in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost, brethren, I may say to you confidently that our patriarch David, he died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day, being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to set one of his descendants upon his own throne, he saw and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ. This is quoting Psalm 16, that he was not abandoned to Hades, and his flesh did not see corruption. So Peter is showing that Psalm 16 doesn't refer to David, but to the Christ. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Say witnesses. We got a historical fact here. And you know, we don't even have just the witnesses of men to establish this historical fact. Who else can we call to the stand? Would Yahweh, the Lord of hosts, Jehovah God, please come to the stand? Wow. Can't argue with him. 1 John chapter 5. And this is, if we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he's borne witness to his son. Imagine God on the witness stand. He who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. He who does not believe has got God has made God a liar. Would you dare to call him such? Because he's not believed in the testimony that God has borne to his son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in his son. He who has the son has life. He who has not the Son of God has not life. And I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Do you rejoice in that today? The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Now, what does it mean for us that he is raised from the dead? What does that signify or prove to us? Well, first of all, it proves to us that God accepted Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, right? If Jesus wasn't raised, we'd ever be left wondering if Jesus had ever sinned, he'd have needed a Savior. The fact that he died and for our sins, and that's the testimony, the fact that he was raised from the dead proves to you that that sacrifice was accepted by God as the full payment for all of your sins and all of your debts. So all of your debts, you who believe in Christ, have been paid in full at the cross. And how do you know that? By the resurrection. Because if they hadn't been, Jesus wouldn't have been raised. But because he was, you may be sure, guess what? You have a receipt. Here's my receipt from Publix. Yes, I bought bananas. But we have something far better than bananas and avocados. We have forgiveness of sins, debt paid in full. I can take this to Publix and say, yes, you did pay, they say, what you've paid in full. Well, we take the cross, paid in full, and that's proven to us because God raised Jesus from the dead. That's a beautiful thing. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me, it says in Psalm 49. Jesus is that ransom price. And so guess what? That cross is totally effective for you. Are you going to go out of here today mumbling and moaning of your sins? Just we confess them to God. We believe in Jesus. And guess what? Paid in full. Go out of here free. Forgiven. I'm reconciled, say. I am at peace with God. I have the hope of eternal life. And all these things for sure. For God so loved you that he gave his only son, that you, believing in him, might not perish, but have eternal life, immortality. Say immortality. Immortality. Immortals never die. Isn't that beautiful? Well, the second thing is his resurrection proves to us that every word Jesus ever spoke was true. Think about that. If Jesus had ever lied or borne false witness or said anything not right, would he have been raised? No, he'd have been a sinner just like the rest of us, and he would have needed a Savior to save him. But the fact that he was raised from the dead on the third day proves to us this, that every word that he spoke was the absolute truth. And so what does he say to us? He says things like this, I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will render account for every careless word they utter. Can we take it as reliable that everybody's going to have they're going to go to the judgment, right? There's that day coming. That is a fact. And as to life, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That is a fact. All right, you're with me. It's a fact. Of faith, Jesus says, truly I say to you, whoever hears my words and believes in who sent me has eternal life. He doesn't come into judgment on that day of judgment, but he has passed from death into life. That is a fact. Your past, if you're worried about it today. Remember what Jesus said to the woman? Oh, she comes there. She's probably still clutching her bare, naked clothes because she was caught in adultery. And what does Jesus say to her? Neither do I condemn you. Go and do not sin again. And he said to that other sinful woman who is down weeping at his feet, he says, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. What are those words? Fact. And those are the words are facts for you. Are you going to go out of here joyful today? You should. How about of your, that's of your past. How about of your present? Jesus says, I'm with you always to the close of the age. Can you rely on that word? Why can you rely on it? He's raised from the dead. His words are true. If he wasn't true, he wouldn't have been raised. I am with you. Do you believe that? Fact. And of your future, he says, I have prepared for you a city. Oh, what a city is prepared too. Oh, it's beautiful. And the king will say to those at his right hand, come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That is a fact, and it's coming very soon. Even if we've never seen it, the fact that he spoke it and that Jesus' resurrection proves it's true means it's coming and you're going to see it. And just like if you're crossing the ocean, you've never been to Europe, but you get there, you're going to see it because you cross the ocean. Every word of God proves true. He's a shield to all those who take refuge in him. So the sacrifice was full, accepted by God. His word is true. It also means the curse has been broken off of you. The curse of what? Of death. Where did that curse begin? Remember? Where's the first curse in the Bible? Huh? Barnaby? In the Garden of Eden, right. Garden of Eden, because you've listened to the voice of your wife, Adam. Now, let's not get into that, okay? Exactly. But because he listened to the voice of his wife, and you've eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat, cursed is the ground because of you, and toil you should have eaten all the days of your life, thorns and thistles, etc., in the sweat of your face. You shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, your dust, and to dust you shall return. That's the curse on the earth, the curse of death. But that curse has been broken. How do we know that? Because the resurrection proves it. What do we read there in the Old Testament? On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will destroy the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. What's God gotten rid of for you? Death, right? That's a curse. That's the result of sin. And sin came into the world through Adam. Everybody died because they'd all sinned. And with the law, it even became more of a curse because it condemns us. But what do we read? Galatians 3. You could open up and read it. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. As it is written, cursed be anyone who hangs on a tree, that in Jesus Christ the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So are you a curse people today? Jesus on the cross became a curse. And the fact that he was raised from the dead proves that this word is true. And he's broken death from off of your backs. You're not going to die. That's a pretty cool thing, isn't it? That's the worst thing we all have to deal with. You know, people go through their lives, and they don't really think of death too much, do they? It's way out there in the future. I don't have to worry about that. You do have to worry about that, oh world. That's the worst of all things. And eternal death? Exclusion from the presence of the Lord? But Jesus broke that curse. And his resurrection proves he's come to life. He's turned that curse now into a blessing. Say, I'm blessed. Go out of here today saying, I am blessed because Jesus was raised from the dead. And God has turned that curse into a blessing for me. I'm justified. I'm reconciled. I have peace with God. I'm God's own son. I'm reckoned as righteous through faith in him. Praise be to God. So the sacrifice is true. The word is true. The curse is broken. And next, number four, the devil is defeated and disarmed. Now, the devil, you know that old Saturday Night Live, the devil made me do it thing. They make fun of the devil in the world. They don't think he's real, but he's a real adversary. And he haunts the world. He wants to destroy the world. He wants to kill you. And it's only God's hand that stays him from doing so. It says he hates the church especially. It says the dragon was angry with a woman. And he went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and bear testimony to Jesus. And he stood upon the sand of the sea. Whoa, this great horned dragon, our adversary and our accuser, what's the resurrection show you? Disarmed, defeated, and doomed. And you're more than conquerors now, and he's going to run away from you when you resist him. Oh, that's such a humiliation to him, isn't it? Little teeny weeny mortals like yourselves, he the great fallen archangel, and you say, flee, get out of here, and he runs because of the resurrection. He's been defeated. Jesus disarmed the principalities and powers and made a public example of them, triumphing over them at the cross. And God did that in Jesus Christ. So the devil is a totally disarmed person now. What is the devil's job? He likes to accuse. He's a slanderer. And what kind of thoughts does he put in your mind? You sinner. God must be so angry with you. He doesn't love you. Look at yourself. Look in your mirror. Look at all your sins. You know what happened when the devil tried to do that with Luther? Luther says, haven't you forgotten a sin or two? How about this one, and that one, and this one, and that one? But haven't you also forgotten to say underneath of all of them, it is written, paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ? Right? His job is to accuse. He's the prosecuting attorney. He's got no right to accuse you anymore because your sins have been paid in full. Justice served. You set free. And it says, therefore, in Revelation 12, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before a God, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. Just testify to him. Whenever you get those thoughts in your head, say, I am redeemed. Jesus rose from the dead. My sins are there, but they are paid in full and carried away by my Savior. Get out of here, devil. And I'll have to run because that's the word. You conquer by the word of your testimony. And Jesus, because we have flesh and blood, that's why he took on flesh and blood, not to save angels, but he partook of our nature, Hebrews 2, so that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. So, are you more than conquerors through him who loved you? Can even demons and principalities and powers and things to come and such separate you from the love of God? No. And so, rejoice today. The Lord is risen. He's risen indeed. And then also, not only the sacrifice is true and the word and the curse is broken and the devil defeated, but the resurrection proves to us that you are saved. So many times we feel like we're teetering and tottering on the edge of salvation, whereas unbelievers feel totally secure. There's something wrong with this. They should feel insecure. You should feel secure in the Lord. Because Jesus' resurrection, God says, I'm going to connect you with that. God says in 1 Corinthians 6, and God raised the Lord, and he'll also raise us up by his power. We who are connected to Christ by faith and baptism. Because I live, you'll live also, says Jesus. Not like Lazarus or Jairus' daughter. Remember, they were raised from the dead, but they died again. You're going to be raised immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, glorious, shining. Can you really picture that? Look around at each other. You know, that you are actually going to be raised in Jesus Christ and transformed and made glorious like unto him at his appearing. That's what the resurrection proves to us, friends. And if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, says Paul. And how? Also by baptism, we were buried with him by baptism, right? Down into the water you went, and up you came, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we might walk in newness of life. Already in our spirits being raised, and our bodies too are going to be raised as well. And finally, not only those things, but his resurrection proves to us that that new world is coming. That's where our hope, Peter says, set your hope fully upon that grace that's coming to you at the revelation of Jesus. In Hebrews, we read about all the saints. They could have returned to Canaan. They could have gotten property in this world. But their eyes were on a better country, a heavenly one. And that's why God's not ashamed to be called their God. For he has prepared for us a city. Say, God has prepared for me a city. Oh, and it's bright and shiny. It's on the horizon even now. And you're going to get there, friends, in Jesus Christ. His resurrection proves, for that as by a man, Adam, came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. That's through Jesus. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. But Christ is the first fruits. He came up out of the earth first. You're all going to come up. We're all going to come up later at his coming. Then will come the end. When Jesus will deliver the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and a power and authority. That's the devil's. For he must reign until he's put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Just put under his feet and crushed. Death will be no more. Neither shall be there mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat upon the throne will say, I make all things new. So Jesus has come down. He has saved us. When he subjects everything, then he subjects himself and bows before the Father. And then God becomes all things to everyone. Praise be to God. I will make all things new. So let's rejoice today. Your sins are paid. The sacrifice has been accepted. All his words are true to you. The curse is broken off of you. The devil is defeated. The kingdom is ours, and we will be raised. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.